This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
1985, I arrive.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know the vibes. Shout out to all the supporters. You guys have been great. Bless you all. St. Patty's Day was just yesterday. Hope everybody is now recovering from such a long day, long night. But shout out to everybody who was celebrating, had fun. Me, no, I had other things to do, but I remember the days in which I did engage in a lot of those activities, which was a lot of fun. Lots to get into. I remember we was worrying about Aaron Rodgers for I don't know how long. And see, here's the problem. See, a lot of people kind of like that when they can kind of seize the power from the quote-unquote man, so to speak, right, from the owners, you know, right? I mean, they have all the power usually. They trade a guy. Doesn't matter if it's Christmas. Doesn't matter if you have a family. Doesn't matter if you really want it to go to that team. Doesn't matter. If it suits the team, they will do it, right? They always like to compare. Or the way I actually like to look at it, right? Like, the relationship between players and owners, it's an open relationship. They say it's more like a marriage. Nah, not really. It's an open relationship because if the team or if the organization finds something better, you're out of there. And you can look at what's going on in Cleveland. It's just the best way to explain it. I mean, I've been telling you guys about Baker for the longest. If you've been listening, it's not that I don't like the guy. It's not like I have anything against the guy. A lot of this is not personal. Baker Mayfield is one of those people who doesn't understand that. It's really not personal. You know, when you get your feelings all wrapped up into it, I get that's why it was like the goodbye letter the other day. And I'm like, man, I literally just put out a podcast. And of course, he goes on and, you know, sends out a virtually like a goodbye letter to the fans of Cleveland saying, you know, all the hard work. And there was actually something in there saying how he wasn't sure where he was going to be taking his next snap. So you already know what was going on. So I was like, okay, we knew this was coming. But to sum up, if you're not the best at your position, understand that every day that you take the field or every day you practice, you can be replaced. That needs to be understood. And that's why some people get a little upset at guys like Aaron Rodgers, right, when they hold out and they seize all this power because they want that. But here's the thing. Everybody's not Aaron Rodgers. Baker Mayfield is nowhere near on Aaron Rodgers' stratosphere. Not going to happen. Doesn't matter. It is what it is, right? But however, Baker is a better actor. You know, you can't have it all, you know. But anyway, Baker lived off of inflating himself to be this ultimate quarterback, this different, unique type of quarterback. Which I'll give him that, right? You are unique. You are different because for your size, right, you were able to do a lot of things. I mean, it's actually incredible how you actually walked on, you know, were a walk-on in college and was able to elevate your play enough to be a starter, enough to be the first overall pick. You did do all that. That is amazing. That's just a testament to your hard work and will, right? Sure will. But at the same time, Baker putting out that letter because he finds out that his team is shopping around for Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry. I don't know any other front office in the game that wouldn't do the same exact thing. So for him to find that so egregious is like, dude, what were you thinking? You had one good season. What were you, like 11-5? The rest were, what, six? I think he had like six wins. That's not going to get it done. Nowhere near it. I know what the perception is because if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you're like, you haven't won in so long. You've missed on every pick, you know, in terms of getting yourself into playoff contention because you haven't yet done that. But you have to look at the totality of the situation, right? So everybody wanted to blame Odell, right? Yeah, I'm going back to Odell. Yeah. Everybody wanted to blame Odell. Odell's father did everything he could to get him out of Cleveland. He got out of Cleveland. And then when you start to see all these reports, like how even Jarvis Landry is released, right? It's like, what's going on? And then you find out Amari Cooper. So I'm thinking, oh, they're trying to set, you know, Baker Mayfield up for success. No, we got it all wrong. That's not what they were trying to do. They're trying to make the Cleveland Browns more attractive to guys like Deshaun Watson, because he's in the market, and because even though he's going to have to serve a certain amount of suspension time, I don't want to get into all that because I honestly don't know the facts of that, and I understand how savvy the media can be, and until we have the facts, I'm not going to judge or even dive into that, because I still found it kind of funny how Deshaun Watson wanted out of the Houston Texans. We didn't hear anything about his behavior or his conduct. I mean, unless you've heard something prior to everything else, please call in or let me know and we can talk about it. And we can, as long as it's factual, not just opinion based. But I just thought that was kind of funny. All of a sudden he wants out. He wants to shop around, see what his value is, go somewhere where he can actually compete. And I've heard other guys actually complain about the Houston Texans organization. So it's not just, you know, it's not just him. He wanted out, and all of a sudden all these allegations come out, and he sits for a year. We don't hear from him. We're not able to properly assess him with the other quarterbacks because everybody's got a year on him, right? But all we can look at is what he did a year ago and assess him that way, right, to see. But so far, what we can tell is the Cleveland Browns were shopping, essentially. You know, people want to blame it on Baker's, you know, his shoulder, the injury. He did have surgery in the offseason, which is now not too long ago, recovering from that. And then all of a sudden, everything comes out. But honestly, I think the Cleveland Browns were never all in. Not completely in. I just think they didn't have better options at the time. So they had no choice but to say, oh, this is our guy. It was more like, this is our guy for now because we don't have, there's nothing else out there. So we have to stick with him. That sort of thing. And now when you look at it, it's just like, okay. And then what's crazy is now we're finding out that Deshaun Watson may not even be going to the Cleveland Browns. So it's kind of like, okay, now it's awkward because Baker's like, you know what, it's in the best interest for both parties to kind of go their own separate ways, and that's that. You know, I find a team that I want, that I'm comfortable going on, where we can compete for a Super Bowl, and same thing for the Cleveland Browns, and see what happens. But here's the thing. Deshaun Watson is actually looking like he's either going to go to Atlanta, which I would say, which is probably, I can see that being on his list. But the only thing is with Matt Ryan, it's a little more, you know, technical. It's going to take a little bit more work to get that to happen. But I'm also hearing the Saints as well. So the Saints might be an easier route, but I don't know if he would want to go there, considering you're not exactly going to be competing at a high level, you know, in comparison to the other teams that are out there. So, I say all that, right? So now we switch it real quick to the Aaron Rodgers situation and how he held out and how he wanted to be the highest paid, even though he said money wasn't the option, but yet you're getting $50 million a year. Okay, for 3 years. Okay, whatever. And then the way the contract is structured, you're on a year-to-year basis. I felt like the Green Bay Packers organization have been on a year-to-year basis with Aaron Rodgers for the past 2 years. And if you're someone like Devontae Adams, that has to be annoying. I don't care how much chemistry you have with the guy on the field, and that's great. That's what you want. I'm not going to sit here and act like that doesn't matter. It absolutely does matter. But here's what matters more: putting food on the table for your family. having that security of knowing you're going to get guaranteed money, as well as being able to compete, right? You still want to be able to compete as well. But guys out here are trying to get paid, though. Let's understand that first and foremost. It's first you get paid, right? Secure your future for your family. Justify the reason for you playing, right? Or even the hard work that you've been putting in all these years. Then once you're able to secure the bag, then you can worry about everything else that comes with it. All the nuances. That's the important part. You have to secure the bag. You have to, especially in a game like football. We don't need to keep harping on how volatile it is, how dangerous it is. It is barbaric. It is. Let's call it what it is. These guys can get injured at any moment. And then what? Then what? You have to secure the bag first. It's just good sense, good business. Nowadays, you have no idea, you know, where you can end up or what situation you can end up in. So you always want to make sure you secure that. Okay, cool. Now, from what I'm hearing, the Packers had months, if not even a year, to secure Davante Adams. But no, you guys just wanted to wait on Aaron Rodgers, right? Because you were like, I understand their thinking. They were like, why are we going to secure this wide receiver who we know wants to be the highest paid receiver? We already know that for a fact because he's said that, right? So on top of that, so which means we would have to pay him around 28, which is what we'll get into in a sec about what he's actually getting right now, or what he just signed to. It's the fact that somebody's future, somebody's paycheck, you know, financial security is hinged on a guy that's saying money doesn't really matter. I know Davante Adams is like, listen, I know money may not matter to you because of the money you've made over your career, right? Or maybe even the situation that you were in. I don't know his backstory. But the whole point is, it matters to Davante Adams. That matters to him. Securing the bag matters. So my thing is, if it didn't matter to Aaron Rodgers, then why didn't you get this deal done a lot sooner in order to make things a little bit easier for your teammates like Davante Adams that everybody says they're so cool with? And I think people get this misconstrued. So let me break this down really quickly. Just because you have coworkers that you're cool with doesn't mean that they're your friends, right? And the same thing, even when you're with your friends, it doesn't mean that just because you're so cool with your coworkers, it doesn't mean you can, so cool with your friends that you can go into business with them. I think those are two very separate things. And don't get me wrong, because it's always that 1% that always that works out. It works out for certain people, right? It worked out for LeBron James and his crew, and that's great. And if it could work out for you too, awesome. But it doesn't always work out that way the majority of the time, right? So just because they have good chemistry on the field does not mean that they're besties. Like, all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, these guys are, like, best friends. And did people really see them hanging out? Like, outside of, like, team building, you know, type of things? Like, I don't understand. Are they really on that level? Or is that just how people view them because they play so well together? Just because you work so well with someone doesn't mean that you're best friends with them. Right? It doesn't mean that you share the same values or belief systems. Because I'm inclined to think that even if you did, you would probably give them a heads up, at least on maybe what move you're going to make. Because if you're that close, that you're same to make. But that's why I don't believe in doing that. Because business is business, right? So if Aaron Rodgers needed to take that time and needed to figure out what he needed to figure out in order to structure the deal he needed, right? Then okay, then don't try to say that they like really tight friends, because that obviously wasn't the case. Davante Adams has a responsibility to himself and his family. So he made a business decision. He said to himself, okay, Aaron Rodgers sat there. We didn't talk. It's not like Aaron Rodgers called him up. It's like, yo, this is what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to take about this long because of X, Y, and Z and whatever. And then we can see how we can structure you in. No, this is what happened. Aaron Rodgers sat on it, took his time, structured his deal out properly. Boom, it comes out. Aaron Rodgers is not retiring. He's not going to another team. Cool. He's going to stay. He's the highest paid in the league. He's getting about 50 mil a year for over 3 years, but it's still going to be year to year. So meaning we don't even know if you're actually going to be playing here next year, right? And if you're a guy like Davante Adams, you're like, all right, now I know what you're doing. This is what I'm going to do. Because they tried to franchise tag him. So he was like, yeah, okay, I'm not taking that. And I had a feeling that that was going to happen. But here you go. Because, like I said, organizations always want a low ball. They do not want to pay unless they have to, unless you're a guy like Aaron Rodgers. There's always that anomaly, right, that outlier. But everybody's not him, right? But here's the thing. Davante Adams, in his position, is. But, you know, they hold quarterbacks a little bit differently because you have to build around them and structure everything. Whatever. Cool. So Davante Adams was like, I'm not taking that franchise tag. Raiders comes along and they're like, listen, we're going to pay you like you deserved. All that work that you put in and pretty much stay quiet, didn't make a lot of noise. You just put in work. Your highlight tape speak for itself. What you did put the Packers into a great situation, you know, to be competitive or to play competitive football. And we want that over here. Listen, we have your old college quarterback over here in Derek Carr. You already see what we're doing pass rush wise. I was like, our O-line, I'm like, we're solid over here. Darren Waller, I mean, you want to play alongside him? So you ain't got to worry about getting double coverage. They're just going to have to pick their poison over there. When it comes to defending you guys with the zone and the man, that's gonna be really interesting. So of course he took the deal. He secured the bag like he's supposed to. And here come the Packers. Oh, we'll match that offer. You know what? Davante Adams was like, too little, too late. And not only that, I'm not going to speak for him because I don't know really what his relationship was like with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is known to be, you know, arrogant, and a lot of people have said that, but I don't know him personally, so I can't say that. But he does come off that way, but I don't know if he really is. Some people have different personas, you know, out there in the public eye than they do in private, so I don't know. But who else knows? Because the best usually want to play with the best. Let's just call it what it is. Derek Carr is a good quarterback. I'll give him that. But he's not Aaron Rodgers, right? So you have a team that you've played with your whole career that's willing to match the offer that was just given to you. Not to mention you have the opportunity to play with the best, right? I know Tom Brady came back, so that's, you know, we could argue that arm strength, talent, you know, or accuracy. But you have the opportunity to play with one of the best. And you just said, nah, I'm good. They already offered me the deal. You guys sat on this for however long. I already see where you guys are going with this when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not going to have my career tied on to another man. Like, it is what it is. I don't care how good he is. There's things to me that are more important than just football. That's the way I took it. I was like, okay, he's with the Raiders now. The Raiders are going to be dangerous. All these moves that teams are making, it definitely is a copycat league. Because when they saw what the Rams did, right, these moves, and they were like, wow. They just put it, because it is a game of matchups, especially when you get to the playoffs, right? It is a game of matchups, and that's usually how you choose who's going to win, because it is going to come down to those playmakers. Everybody can do their job, and they can be solid, but at the you need to be, like, you really have to be super, like, out of this world. Like, I believe when you watch sports sometimes, you get used to seeing such great plays, and you think that's normal. It's not normal the way Patrick Mahomes was able to go down the field and score a touchdown in 15 seconds. Like, that's not normal, guys. Like, the way Kelce was able to catch it over his back shoulder for the end zone touchdown. That's not normal. I know we talk about it like it's normal, but it's not normal. I'm here to tell you. And yes, I'm really hoping that the NFL does change their rules, even though the defense was out there on the field. The defense definitely could have played defense, right, for 15 seconds. Hold together 15 seconds and we can be good. I get it. But at the same time, it's like maybe everybody always wonders, what if Josh Allen had the ball next? What if? I don't know. But at the end of the day, you know, like I said, people have to, like, you can't play your way out like Patrick Mahomes, like, even the next round, right? Like, he was doing too much. He was going back to the old Patrick Mahomes that everybody already had his number with, and that's why he had such a rough beginning of the season, right? You can't do it all by yourself. You can't just run around like that. That's not going to happen, especially to how fast these linebackers are. Not going to happen. You will run yourself right out of the game with that. But anyway, with the Packers, I have no idea what they're going to do. It looks like a mess. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to compete. I think they're placing way too much stock into, you know, growing their own talent. I mean, but in the wide receiver, you know, department. Because to me, it's just like Aaron Rodgers was contemplating retirement, right? I don't know how many guys contemplate retirement and then decide, okay, I'm going to play to rebuild. What else are they going to be doing over there when you look at all these other teams? How are they going to be able to compete? Lamar Jackson is going to be back. You got to worry about Justin Herbert. You got to worry about Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. All these guys are going to be competing at a very high clip. Like, it's going to be interesting. And just to go back on the Baker Mayfield situation, man, that's awkward, man. I mean, the organization saying they want an adult at the position at quarterback, and Baker Mayfield is just going back. Because, you know, he's not that type of guy that's able to kind of just suck things up and just do it. You know, he stands on his principles, and that's part of what people do love about him. Like, if you love Baker, what you love about him is that he is one of those, like, no-nonsense, like, I wear my heart on my sleeve because I am an underdog. I was told, I don't know for how long, what I can and can't do, and I've always proved people wrong. So he's always going to come with that mindset, like, I'm going to prove y'all wrong. Believe what you want. But I believe in myself, and I'm going to bet on myself. So I don't know what's going to happen, but it looks, and the fact that Amari Cooper's over there, and we're not really sure who's going to be the QB, you know, I don't know what Baker's willing to do. I don't know if he's going to, I mean, if I were him, you got to just ball out this year. You got Amari Cooper, right? Bradley Chubb, you know, you have Kareem Hunt at the running back position. So you're not going to have to do all that much, right? You just got to, those turnovers, they need to come down. Those interceptions that you throw in, he needs to be in the film room, right? Understand the way defenses are covering you. Understand what you're looking at when you're at the line of scrimmage. Like, he's got to play with, like, his career's on the line because it is. Because, like people are saying, like, if you don't ball out this year or if you have a year off, that's going to be so bad for your stock value, because I don't know who's going to want you. Because then they're going to try to write you off like you were Johnny Manziel. That's just the reality of the situation. You know, or kind of just, you know, put you as like a backup or wherever. Or just like when they did to Jared Goff and ended up with the Lions, you know. And they ended up winning like one or two games and celebrating like it was the Super Bowl. Like if you're one of the ultimate competitors, like I know Baker Mayfield is, that is football purgatory. You don't want to end up there at all. So they got to get it together. They got to figure it out, especially Baker, because Baker's the one that's in that position. But again, the Cleveland Browns, you don't want to be put in a position where you're not only wasting Amari Cooper, Bradley Chubb, Kareem Hunt, come on. You have some real ballers out there. Not to mention your defense is solid. Solid. O-line, there's always been some questions. But we'll see. I can't wait. But just to let you know, guys, about Davante Adams, I mean, this is almost like a no-brainer, right? So just to go back on all the, because you know there's always pros and cons, right? But there was a lot of pros. Pros are going with the Raiders. You get to play with your old college quarterback who you definitely get along with and who are clearly close friends. I heard that he brought a house in Vegas, so that kind of makes sense. You have Josh McDaniels, right? The offensive genius. Now, obviously, the Raiders needed a wide receiver, right? Because of the whole Henry Ruggs situation, unfortunately. His contract is at $28.5 million a year. Come on. Now, here's what the Packers tried to get away with. When they didn't have Adams, the team was 7-0. So, you know, like I said, the organizations are always looking for a way to try to save money, right? They're always trying to do that. But those are just some facts that make sense that I'm sure factored in to his decision to move to the Raiders. But just to switch gears a little bit, because I know I'm not really into college basketball too much. I kind of really get into it, especially around draft time, especially around March Madness time, of course. Yes, I did fill out my bracket. All these upsets is just crazy. Like, that's why I just like watching it and just enjoying it, because sometimes when you fill out the brackets, you just more obsessed about your teams and who you picked instead of kind of just enjoying the beauty of it, you know, watching the upsets. You know, I mean, like UConn, right? Like, what was going on? I mean, I can't tell you, but what I can tell you is that was a pick I missed on. Unbelievable, right? What was the other one? In Kentucky, what's going on? St. Peter's, shout out. New Mexico State, St. Peter's, shout outs to y'all, because you guys understand the pressure's not on you. If you're a low-seeded team, you're kind of just or just a name or school name, right, that people don't really know, not really a household name. So you're kind of just happy to be in the tournament. You're happy for your school to get recognized. You're playing on TV, playing. This is what you love to do. Hopefully you want to make it a profession, you know, to make it to the next level at the NBA. But even if you can't, like, this is fun. This is your glory days. These are days that you're going to tell your kids, right, about, you know, your grandkids maybe eventually. Those are things that you dream about. So there's no pressure on you, right? You're just there to have fun and just play the game. Now, when you have teams like, you know, UConn and Kentucky, especially Kentucky, man, John Calipari, I mean, pressure's on. You have to win. You're expected to win. A lot of people have you guys taking it all, if not at least getting to the Final Four, right? Elite Eight, at least. You know, so it's like, man, you know, a lot of these guys are just like trying to prove themselves to try to get to the next level, because, you know, Kentucky has a habit of, you know, sending off a lot of their freshmen, if not, you know, sophomores, onto the NBA level. So that was kind of crazy. But I have my school taking it all, which is Arizona. That's the school that I'm repping because I go there. But we'll see what happens. I mean, that's part of it, right? March Madness. But when I saw those teams, and I was like, what? Kentucky? Man. I mean, the only team that I will actually say that I know for a fact that's been playing terrible, only because I've been paying attention to Coach K, because it's his last year, you know, after 42 years of coaching, you know, that man deserves that respect. So I've been paying attention to them. And Duke, I mean, they're ranked high because they're Duke. But they haven't been playing that well. They haven't done anything to impress me. Even on, you know, Coach K's last home game, they were terrible and they lost, you know, terrible. It's like, guys, you have a lot more to play for than the other team. Like, I get the other team, you know, gave y'all some work, but, man. Anywho, we'll see what happens. I'll keep you posted from my bracket here and there because I will be watching the games, you know. But, like I said, college is not 100% my thing. So, if you guys want to call in and have any insight on college, I'm all ears. If anything, I'm more into college football, but we'll talk. NBA, guys, man. There hasn't been too many games, obviously, on last night because of college basketball, but the game that was on the night before was between the Celtics and the Warriors. It was a great game, right? It was competitive. We're sitting there watching it. Guys are diving for loose balls. Unfortunately, it happened to be the play that hurt Steph with Marcus Smart. Now, I'm going to say this. I like the Golden State Warriors, the organization, what they have going on. I like the fact that Draymond Green's finally back. I like how they play basketball, team basketball all the way. They have so many assists. They don't just shoot the ball. Everybody fixate on just the shooting. It's more than that. It's the way they set each other up. They look genuinely happy when the other guy scores, right? To get other guys involved. Even on the defensive end, they struggled, obviously, tremendously when they didn't have their engine in Draymond Green. But with that being said, I like the Celtics too. They've had their bumps in the roads trying to figure everything out, right? With Marcus Smart, he's the engine. He's the Draymond Green of the Celtics. He's the guy that's going to hold guys accountable, right? I mean, verbally, not just by doing. It's both with him. But the superstar is, you know, Jason Tatum. You also have Jaylen Brown, who's like, you have like 1A and 1B. It just depends on the night, depends on the matchup. And also Jaylen Brown's been in and out of the lineup due to injuries. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep it like that, because everybody wants to make a story out of something, and I get it. Everybody wants to create content, right? But fabricating it, it's a little annoying. So I understand Steve Kerr's frustration when Marcus Smart dove for that ball, and it happened to be when Steph is there, when he was trying to get the ball as well. And Steve Kerr was very upset because he's been having guys in and out of the lineups, and not just any old guys, right? He's been having Klay Thompson. He was out for almost 2 years, right? Not almost, a little bit over 2 years. You have Wiseman that just got assigned to the G League who's going to try to get worked into the rotation, right? You have guys like Kuminga who's been playing, balling out. Jordan Poole as well. You have to find out what works on the floor at any given time. Chemistry matters, right? They just need to be put in the proper position in order to make those things work, in order to win games, right? Because they've had their slumps, especially without Draymond. Like I said, you just got Draymond back. And then when he saw that play with Marcus diving for the ball and he saw that Steph's leg was right there and Steph rolled his leg because he was trying to get the ball. I mean, I'm sure every Warriors fan was holding their breath like, no, like Draymond was just saying that we were about to win the chip and this guy just comes over and just, you wasn't taking the ball essentially. You was metaphorically taking away our championship in that moment. And I get, like I said, I can get the frustration in the moment, but once the emotions calm down and the rational talk begins, it should be quite obvious that Marcus Smart is not a dirty player. He has no history of that. And at the same time, he was making a basketball play. Now, of course, the other side, you know, Draymond was saying, I'm glad he also cleared that up and was like, that's not a dirty play, because Draymond also has, you know, his history of things, right? But at the same time, he understands hard work and what it takes sometimes. You know, you have to, there always needs to be a guy who's willing to put in the dirty work. And that doesn't mean that to be a dirty player. It just means to dive on the floor for loose balls, you know, do all the scrappy work. The Dennis Rodmans, you know, back in the day. Like, that's the blueprint that some of these guys follow, because you don't need to, you know, fill up the stat sheets in order to make an impact, right? So this is part of what Marcus Smart does. He's going to dive on the ball. because that possession matters. Every possession matters, especially when you're going into the playoffs. You have to have that mindset now. You can't just switch it on. No. You have to practice good habits if you want them to eventually be habits, you know, to be muscle memory, second nature type things. So that was not a dirty play. I don't even know why that was a story. The only story that should have been is Steph was trying to get the ball, and that's what happened. And he unfortunate, and it's unfortunately that that was the result. But for Marcus Smart's name to be kind of, you know, just trying to just talk, you know, talk bad or about it, or just, you know, trying to tarnish his name, all because he was making a hustle play with, they actually, I don't even know if anybody knows this, but they actually do drills on that alone. You know that, right? Like, that's part of it. Like, coaches encourage that. You're supposed to dive on the floor if there's a loose ball, period. So I don't even know why that's even a discussion. So just to end it there, Marcus Smart was not trying to take out Steph Curry. By no means. He was going for the ball. And as a result, someone got injured. Some things like that can happen. It could have happened on any other play where somebody was trying to be aggressive, you know, with him trying to go to the hole or whatever the case may be. It was unfortunate. Now, they're saying that he should be back right when the playoffs start. I think if they can, they should try to work him in before that, even if it's just some minutes here and there. I don't know if you can just throw him in, because right now teams are hungry. And I can't even say especially in the West right now, because it's in the East too. Teams are hungry. They have a lot to prove. So they have a lot of, so I understand. That's why I said I understand Steve Kerr's frustration, because now he's like, oh, now that's another rotation I have to work out, because now Steph has to come out, and now we're probably going to put, you know, Toscano Anderson, you know, or Jordan Poole in that spot. Like, they gotta figure it out. Like, and people think it's just a plug and play type thing, and it's really not. It's really not. Like, that it takes a whole season to get that right. That's when you're, and that's why when it gets around this time, around March, April, you want to tighten up your rotation. You know, have like an 8-9 man rotation at best. Obviously, you have to factor in if guys foul out and all these other stories, but it's really tight. That's the way you want to keep your rotation. You know where guys are at. Matchups wise, everything just makes sense. Everybody knows where they're going to be. It's just like clockwork, because some things you shouldn't have to think about while you're out there. But unbelievable, though. I couldn't believe that myself. I mean, that's why you never really want to make sweeping declarations like that with Draymond, even though I was kind of happy, because I like when people have confidence in themselves and in their teammates. It's not just themselves. It's just showing, listen, we've had a hard couple years. You know, injuries have factored in, but now we're healthy and we're back. And not to mention, we developed a lot of our young talent with the same core issues, and they've all bought in. So it's only right that we go out and show y'all again who we are. So, like I said, I like that attitude, but it's like, that's why you don't want to say things like that, because it's like you never know what the future may hold, and at the end of the day, it's like nothing is guaranteed, especially in sports and when it comes to injuries and things of that nature. Because I can't say that I'm superstitious or I don't want to jinx it or this and that. But there's just some things you probably just don't want to say just because, like, you know, you just don't know. You're afraid of the unknown and you just don't want to know and you don't want to bring it up. But Karl Anthony Towns, we got to talk about what he's doing. 50-point game. I like how Kyrie Irving is also playing too. Oh, man, like, I mean, it's, rest is something, huh? When you're able to rest like that and you're a superstar, you can put up these crazy numbers every night, you know, or I shouldn't say every night that you are available to play, right? Because that's pretty much what it is. Like, every time, you know, it's like he doesn't play for a little while because it's a home game or whatever the situation is, or because they're in Toronto or whatever, and then he's having, like, these huge, huge nights. But I get it's also to send a message like, hey, listen, these are what my fans are missing out on. You know, all the away fans, you know, for that's rooting for their home team, they're pretty much watching Kyrie Irving ball out, and they're rooting for him. Now, I don't want to diminish it at all. I know I was against the Orlando Magic, and, you know, people tend to point that out. And, yes, it does matter who your opponent is, but still, I mean, putting up 50, 60 points, these guys, what these guys are doing is, it is amazing, regardless. It's not easy to do that, especially with such accuracy, you know, and within a system, within a team system at that. And he's playing with Kevin Durant, so that's very hard to do with one ball. You know, I mean, only one of you can shoot at a time. So the fact that they're able to kind of just switch it off, but it does let you know that the Nets still are dangerous. But here's the other thing. We don't know if Ben Simmons is even going to come back. Yeah, I'm not even talking about for the rest of the season. I'm talking about for even the playoffs. We don't know if he's coming back. They're really worried about his back. And I know everybody has jokes here and there, and it's funny. Because it's like, how you go so long without playing and you have back injuries? Like, what's going on? But at the end of the day, these are real concerns. These are things that are already been discussed, and you have to take those in consideration. Like, that's someone that they thought that would be there at some point, and the fact that Ben Simmons won't be, especially as a defensive presence. Everybody wants to joke around about the offense, and, you know, I get it. But defensively, that's a big, big loss. That's a big loss. Because when the game starts to slow down a bit, and, yeah, you have Kyrie, and you have Kyrie sometimes, depending on if rules change or not. But you have KD, and Seth. Let's not forget about Seth Curry. I'm not talking about Steph, I'm talking about Seth. Let's not forget about him. Because I don't know what people are thinking, but he's a starter. That's it. Seth is a starter. His scoring is... Like, what he's able to do in such a short period of time is amazing. The way he comes off screens as well. Man, I don't know. But that's what makes the Nets so good, though. That's why people were saying they think the 76ers gave up too much. And we have to still see it play out. James Harden has been shying away from big games, and I've definitely pointed that out, and I can see why they say that, you know. Seth Curry, he's a baller. He can score. He will always keep you. There's not going to be a drought on the Nets. Like, that's not their issue. You also have Andre Drummond, a rebounded machine, and can give you some points, can give you a double-double on a good night. Like, those are things that we need to take into consideration when you're talking about the Nets. But, like I said, it's going to be interesting. But those are the main teams. I mean, we can talk about what, you know, Minnesota's doing. But Minnesota, I mean, what? They had one playoff, you know, series. Did they even win that series? Maybe one playoff series they won in, like, 17 years. I don't know. It's since KG years, they haven't really been good. Like, let's just call it what it is. And I get it. They were playing Minnesota the other night, right? They were playing. Well, the Lakers were playing Minnesota the other night, and it was, of course, this back and forth between Russ, because Russ is obviously having an abysmal year. We know this, but so are the Lakers all together. Like, they're just feeding off of each other. The only person that's having a decent, you know, year is LeBron James, and that's to be expected. But everybody else is terrible, like, just terrible, and we get that. And Karl Anthony Towns, and they've actually been having a pretty decent, I wouldn't say, it's been okay. It's been okay for them, for their standards and what they're trying to do. You know, but they're over there, like, making fun of the Lakers, and it's, or not really the Lakers. I guess they're making fun of Russ in particular. And I admire Russ mainly because of his hard work and what he's been able to do. And obviously he's a Hall of Famer. So the level of attention that or blame that he's getting for the whole Lakers, you know, situation. I've already pointed that out, how I find that very, it's not only annoying, it's just inaccurate. But when you talk about guys going back and forth, jarring at each other, trash talking, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know why everybody else seems to have a problem with that. I get Minnesota hasn't won anything, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that they don't have an opinion and they can't voice it when they're actually doing better than their opponent that night, because they are playing that night. They're not talking about history and what other people have done and personal accolades. I mean, that's what one would probably say in order to, save face, right? Or that would be like their back, their comeback, so to speak. But I don't find a problem with Patrick Beverley coming back at Russ, because they have this ongoing feud on the court all the time, right? Rocking the baby, Russ always does. Oh, you too small, you too little in the post, right? When he posts him up and makes the basket, off the glass or whatever he likes to do. If you're going to be fine with that, if everybody likes it and they're like, okay, that's cool, that's funny. I'm with a lot of people who say, if you're gonna dish it out, you got to be able to take it. You got to be able to take it. But then at the same time, you got to be able to take it back. So if Russ is saying, like, listen, y'all haven't really done anything, I mean, that's fair too. It's all fair game. It's all talk. It's all trash. But at the end of the day, it's factual, though. Minnesota hasn't done anything since KG. That's facts. Especially when you're talking to a Hall of Famer, though. Like, it's not like you're talking to just any old regular guy. Like, we admit he's having a terrible season. But most of his career wasn't terrible. So it's kind of like, all right, you want to kick me while I'm down right now? That's cool. All right. I'm on the back end of my career already. I've done everything I needed to do to solidify my legacy. But you're still working on yours, or it's already written. So, I'm just saying it's fair game either way. I don't even know why that's even a story either. I'm just trying to just, everybody's wondering my opinion about it. That's my opinion about it. Yeah, Russ is my guy. Like, any guy you can find that plays with heart the way he does, the way guys that you don't ever question their heart, that's my guy. That's my guy. Does he have his faults? Yeah. If he's having a bad season, I'll tell you. I'll be like, yeah, it's terrible. It's bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad, guys, it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. It's hard. And if you're a fan, especially if an individual, like right now, like my one of my favorite players is Donovan Mitchell, by far. So all his games, for sure, I'll see. It doesn't matter. Like, he'll always be on, like, the main screen. I'll always watch it. Always, always, always. That's just me. Everybody has, like, that main guy. But it's usually, one of the big stars, probably like KD, Kyrie, Nah, my guy is Donovan Mitchell. I love his work ethic. I love what he brings to the Utah Jazz. I felt like a big part of the reason why they're even relevant is because of that pick when they picked him. And I was so mad because I felt like the Knicks should have picked him. So that's, I felt like ever since then. So I'm like, just because he's not on the Knicks doesn't mean he's not going to be my favorite player. He's still my favorite player. That's not going to change. But just watching other teams play, in general, like I said, if you play with heart, that's my guy. Like, I like people who put their heart into it, and their heart can't be questioned. That's just me. I don't care about the guys who put up stats here and there, play whenever they want. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you'll still be good. I can't say you're not good. I can't say you suck. It just means you're just not gonna be my guy. It is what it is. Everybody, has that person, and that's cool. But that's just me. But speaking of which, teams in the league, the Suns, man, they have a game tonight actually against the Bulls. That's gonna be a really good game, because right now guys are trying to send a message. I don't think CP3 is back just yet. I gotta see when he's coming back to be able to make these picks, because that's the thing. That's why I'm having a hard time right now making these picks, even though I still have a month to go, but I'm watching them very closely, and I do have them numbered, but the order changes frequently, mainly because you never know how guys are going to come back. You never know how chemistry is going to be built within the roster. So all these things factor in. Excuse me. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep checking on my college bracket, you know, until we kind of get to the play-in tournament. I'll still be watching NBA as usual. We'll still put out more episodes. I'm still reading those books in case anybody, you know, is wondering about that. But that's coming along. And, you know, I got to get out of here. But just remember, losses equal life lessons. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.